wonderful. And as I read the scriptures, you're going to know right where that hymn was based. Let's read together from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I begin reading at verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby leaped. The baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent empty away. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Let's pray. God, we'll trust that you will speak to our hearts through your word. Even now, as we ponder, as we consider it, thank you for this time that's been carved out for us. God, our hearts are open books to you. You know them inside and out. Lord, you know that our desire is that you would receive all glory, honor, and praise. May it be so. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage tells us of a kind of waiting that we all know something about. When's the baby due? Mary and Elizabeth are rejoicing in God's goodness to them. And they spend a trimester together, waiting, dwelling on, waiting on the Lord's promise and his gift. Mary said it, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." And Elizabeth was caught up in the wonder of what was about to happen. Her son John joined her in her joy from the womb. What are you waiting for this morning? What is it in your life that you're waiting for? Sometimes we long for what doesn't come. Other times, what we hoped would never happen is right there before us. And we're waiting now for it to be over, right? Then there's the wait-fors that we're told are good things, that we are told are good things, but we don't know how it's going to be good. Like Mary, we ask the question, how will this be? We're uncertain. Well, you and I want to, in the times that we're waiting, we want to wait in faith, don't we? We want to wait in joy, with joy deep down in our hearts. And believers, Christians, can do just that. So here's some ways in which I could call them biblical strategies for waiting in faith. While they waited, Mary and Elizabeth gave testimony to God's blessing. Verses 46 to 49. It was the overflow of their hearts that had already been blessed by God that they began to give testimony of God's grace. My soul praises the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Chapter 1, verse 25. The Lord has done for me. He is the Lord. When we think of the Lord, we think of his majesty and his power. But he's also the Savior. We think of the Savior, we think of his mercy and grace. Because the Lord and Savior, this Lord and Savior knows us. He's been mindful of us. He knows what's in and outside of us because he's done great things for us. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, she knew the awesome blessing. Elizabeth essentially was saying, he knew my struggle all along. in a waiting time. We need to rest in God's ability and remember who He is and look to what He's doing. He's able to do what we would know to be impossible. God is able to do. And He still seeks us out. So brothers and sisters, first off, if we're going to wait in faith believing, we need to understand that the waiting is only part of what's going on in our lives at any one given point. And for Mary and Elizabeth right now, there were some great things that they could tell one another and encourage each other by their testimony of what God was doing while they waited. You and I need to do that for one another as well. That's how we wait in faith believing. That's how we wait with joy. Secondly, while they waited, God's grace was evident. And that's true for us too. It's not just the end result that we're looking to. All the way along, God is pouring into our lives His grace. His grace is like an anchor that holds us while we wait. Back to chapter 1, verses 28 to 30. TJ, can you put those up on the screen? And He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." It's God's grace shown to Mary right in the midst of that announcement. It was the unmerited love of God toward her, all God's initiative. There's no mention here that somehow she had earned this privilege. God was working in a tremendous way in Mary's life, and by His grace He'd called her. Now by His grace He was choosing her to be part of the most important event in human history. And so God's grace, as we're waiting, gives us strength to obey step by step. Luke 1:38, Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever He wants. May everything you've said come true." Note, His grace to us is not only calling grace, that He calls us into His family, that He saves us. Say this word with me. It's sustaining grace. Go ahead, say it. Isn't that a beautiful word? Put them together and it's just wonderful. God sustains us in this time of waiting. What empowers us to trust today will help us, will equip us to trust tomorrow. That's how He works. And thirdly, it's in waiting that God shows up as the source of blessing. Both Mary and Martha got a clear picture of who God is. Verses 49 to 55. God is holy, completely other, pure, infinitely exalted, and would be unknowable unless God was also merciful. His mercy goes out to those who fear Him from generation to generation. But He's not only holy and merciful, He's mighty. He's working. His working is beyond us. It's not according to our rules that those who have get. God lifts the humble and brings down the powerful. The hungry are filled. The rich are sent away empty. And God is not only holy, merciful, and mighty, He's faithful. He fulfills His promises to us. And the baby that would be born to Elizabeth would prepare the way. And the baby that would be born to Mary, Jesus, is the fulfillment of His promise to Abraham, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through this one who is to come. And then finally, those who wait in faith discover that God is the same always. Do you know that your God is holy, merciful, mighty, and faithful? What's your longing today? Another way to ask what you're longing is to say, what keeps you up at night? What you wake up and you're thinking about? Here's a passage of Scripture that simply tells us the promise to send Jesus was from the Lord, and in the fullness of time He sent His Son as Savior, and we join Mary and we join Elizabeth and we say He's done great things. But know that the promise is from the Lord, that He will meet us at this table. This very moment, He will do great things because that's who He is and that's what He does. When one young woman responded in faith, God invaded history through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yeah. What will happen if we, like Mary, respond in faith to the gracious work of God in your life, in my life? You see, then alone can we wait with joy, because we know that God's up to something, and his ultimate purpose for us is for our good. In what situation are you being called right now to step out in faith as you wait? Let's pray silently, and then I'll close our time in just a little bit. Bring to mind the thing that keeps you up at night. Bring to mind the thing that you're waiting for, either for something to be over or for something to begin, and realize that the same God who worked in Mary and Elizabeth's life is at work in your life as well. Let's pray. And so we wait with joy, knowing that you, holy, merciful, mighty, faithful God, you're at work. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
While John was sharing, was anything laid on your heart that you think could be of encouragement to the rest of us to hear, whether it was a scripture that goes in line or something along those lines? Let me share this one thing, and then we'll step into communion together. As he was talking about that aspect of what keeps you up at night, and tying with that with the aspect of waiting, the thing that just crossed my mind was kind of a conviction of myself that hopefully the things that do keep me up at night, the things that I'm longing for the deepest, are the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That there's, you know, that it's like, oh, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. How could I be of encouragement to that person? Or I wonder how my brother's doing, you know, and maybe I need to give him a call and encourage him in the faith. That in our waiting, or even in those things that keep us up at night, that it'd be the things of the kingdom first and foremost that would be on our own minds. And maybe not so much the things, I understand we all have our needs and such. It's not wrong to think about those and to pray into those and to be waiting for those. That's not what I'm saying at all. But let the kingdom be first. And that's just what was on my heart. So I'm sharing that from myself today. Let's take some time now. Let's step into communion and let's worship the Lord in that together.
This morning we're going to share in communion by intinction. And what we do is we invite you to come up the center aisle, unless you're seated behind the entry gap there. And for those behind that gap, we ask that you meet the elders.